really like this song. I like a lot of songs, but when the song that we sing speaks truth about who we are and speaks truth about what His Word says, what God's Word says, and the fact that we know that His character is truth, and we know that the character of Jesus is truth, Jesus came to testify to the truth, I love this song because it reminds us that He doesn't lie to us because He is truth. And it reminds us that He's made promises to us and He will keep His promises. He has said things in His Word, and the Word of God is true, and we can stand on them with full confidence that they are true and that they will come to pass. And I think that's a great thing, and I think it's something that far too many of us forget. When the poop's hitting the fan, we forget that, don't we? And it's so easy to forget things at that moment. And that's why it's so important to spend time in His Word daily and have that become our autopilot. Because when everything's going crazy around us or things are happening around us and we don't have His Word to be our autopilot, we start relying on self and we start responding from self. And when we respond from self, we aren't standing on Him. We start to panic. We start to run in fear. We start to just, everything goes haywire on us. And we need to root ourselves firmly in His Word and in His truth. I think that's something so critical for us to remember today. Let's pray. God, right now we thank You, Father. God, we thank You for the truth of Your Word, the truth of Your goodness in Your Word. God, we thank You that we can stand on Your Word and in who You are and on the things that You've said. And Father, today as we just hang on for a little while, Father, and we get to eat some food and have some snacks, God, I pray that we would take the opportunity to share truth with each other, and that we would take the opportunity to love each other and take the opportunity to speak Your Word to others, to each other, when maybe some of us are scared or worried or anxious or whatever it might be. God, that we would take the opportunity to just speak Your Word in love to each other and to be a blessing to each other. And Father, as we go through the service and the time here together, Father, and then as we prepare to go out, Father, I pray that we would do that same thing out in the community today. God, we love You. We thank You, Father, that You love us and that you have good things for us, Father, that You don't have things that are going to hurt us or harm us, but You have good things that we can stand on. So we thank You for that. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can have a seat, guys. Thanks to the music team. So, I just realized I've got a glaring spelling mistake on my notes, and now I'm not going to be able to unsee that every time I see that word, because I'm sure it's over and over and over again in my notes. I don't think it's up there, but I did have to kind of shorten the name, because we're going to study two leadership qualities today that really go hand in hand, and for the most part, and I'll mention this later, for the most part, some people have both of these qualities, and some people operate either or. So through the summer, we're going through each week and spending time talking about one or two gifts, right? And we talked about things like prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And we finished talking about this idea of what religious folks call the fivefold ministry. And I use that term religious in that time, this time, as a non-pointed comment, but just people that are in the church that know church lingo, that's what they may call that. And today we're going to be talking about this idea of leadership and administration. And, you know, there was a time, and I think I've shared this with you guys before, where this is where I felt that I really, this was my jam. Like leadership, administration, this was my thing. I planned, I built processes, I tried to share vision, and I tried to move it out and step it out with the people that we had. And this was one of my first recognized, I guess, gifts that I recognized in myself. So I think this is a really important gift, and I think it's one that far too many people don't actually rely on and don't actually give credit to. Because leadership and administration in a church is huge. And there was a time where, a few churches ago, where I actually, they really talked down on the idea of leadership and administration. Because we're just going to move as the Spirit moves, or we're going to do as we think we need to do, and not actually work from a plan. And within the church, we need order and we need a plan. And I think it's very critical for us to have this plan. So as we go forward from today, we're going to continue talking about giftings through our summer series. We're going to talk about giving and mercy and helps and craftsmanship, intercession, hospitality, exhortation, interpretation, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and gifts of healings. So keep up. We still got we got lots of summer left too, don't worry. Like months of summer, right? 7 years. So what we've got today is I want to talk about kind of our key verse behind 1 Timothy 3:1-13. And this is one of the key spots that I really see this idea of leadership coming through. And this is what it says. It says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires a position of bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not," I don't even know what this word means, "not convidus." Yeah, come on, you guys. I'm not an English professor. Covetous. I thought it had an N in there. I'm like, what does this word mean, convidus? Covetous, that makes more sense. That's embarrassing. We'll edit this out after it's live, yes. "With one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence, for a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let those also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their house well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and a great boldness in the faith which is Christ." So 1 Timothy, I think, has some very good explanation of what personality traits, what traits a leader and administrator should have. And I think it's important to understand what that means. I think it's important to know what we need to do as leaders and administrators. See, the gift of leadership is a God-given ability to influence and lead groups of people. And typically, these people have their own unique gifts and talents, and we're all working toward a common good. And the challenge with this is, what happens when you have a group of people with different gifts? You get quarrels, you get people arguing, you get people trying to stand up and take leadership. You get people trying to, and you get fights sometimes. Because has anybody here have kids that have never fought other than me? Boy. Okay, Nathan and I, and we're both liars. In this case, no, just kidding. But you know what? Like, whenever we have a family, you're going to get disagreements, you're going to get situations, you're going to have things happen. And as leader, you're trying to make all this work, and you're trying to gather all these people with these different gifts, different passions, and you're trying to help do one thing. And it's what we talked about for this whole series, is to occupy until Jesus comes, right? That's been the premise of this whole idea. When we use our gifts, when we work together, we take up ground, and we're not just sitting back, but we're actually advancing the kingdom of God, and we're occupying until he comes back. We're not sitting on our hands or sitting in a corner, oh, when is Jesus coming back? We just need him back now because it's so garbagey out there. I'm sure people use worse words than garbagey. But we need to be advancing the kingdom. We can't be sitting back scared in our closet. We need to be taking up ground. That should have been an amen or something. Like, we guys, we've gotta not sit in our butts. We need to push forward. We need to step up and start moving the kingdom of God forward because God is waiting on us to do something. He's waiting on us to move. He's waiting on us to step forward. He's not waiting on us to hide in the closet so he can do his work. Those with the gift of leadership can usually see gifts and abilities in other people and help place them where they can have the greatest impact and success within the church and within the community that they're a part of. God typically causes leaders to stand out and gives them this grace and this to stand boldly without fear, without fear of remorse, fear of persecution, fear of objection, even when there is opposition in the midst. Those with the gift of leadership are often able to operate in many areas and be efficient in that. They're able to excel in both leading and inspiring people as well as connecting the right people together to get the appropriate task done within their skill set. Leaders, this is where one of my follies are. My folly, my only folly. Just kidding, once again. But leaders are result-oriented. We want to see results. They're often visionaries who can see potential future of how things go when steps are followed and the plan is followed. And a leader is constantly looking to others to see how their gifts and talents can be a part of the greater mission that Christ has called us to. But as leaders, if you're a leader in this case, here are some things that you should be considering to lean into. As a leader, share your goals and your vision. Don't hold on to them. Don't hide them. But if you feel that you're a leader and we talk, let's have a conversation about it. And share your vision. Share the goals that you feel that Christ has laid on your heart. Not your individual goals. Not, well, I wish we only sang hymns or I wish all ladies wore hats and whatever, shawls or... Is shawls still a thing? Yeah, okay. And we all came to church this way or that way. It's not your goals, but it's the goals that Christ has laid on your heart. Share those goals. Share the vision that he has given you. If you're a leader or feel called to leadership, and do you inspire others to follow and walk towards that common goal of telling people about Jesus? As a leader, you need to lean into thinking big picture, thinking long term, thinking we and not me. It can't be about me. It can't be about my plan. It can't be about my purpose. It needs to be about him. It all needs to lead to him. See, one thing with big picture and leadership, too, I want to bring up is because as I've been going through a process in my past and with past churches and stuff, I've really had to come to the realization that I can't look at each individual thing, but I actually have to change my perspective. I'm no longer at ground level. And when you move up into leadership, all of a sudden you're moving up and you're looking at things from the mountaintop or you're looking at things from the airplane. And you're seeing you have to look at all the different moving pieces. And I remember myself when I was first starting in leadership stuff and I was doing men's ministry and I would get so annoyed at my pastor. Because I'm like, men are so important. Families need men. We need this. We need that. And I just had my tunnel vision on men, right? And I expected him to have the same focus as me. But in turn, he didn't. And I've come to realize now that I can't just tunnel focus on one, but I've got to look at the whole group. I've got to look at the whole plan that Christ has laid on my heart. and for the church, and I have to look at all the different moving pieces and puzzle pieces and how this goes together, and it's almost like a giant jigsaw puzzle, right? You're trying to put the pieces together from a different perspective. And when people would come to me with an idea, they would get mad because, well, why are you not doing this, Dave? Pastor, we need to be doing this. This has got to be our focus. But you've got to realize that as a leader, your focus is not here, but your focus is here. And you need to step back sometimes and look at things from a different perspective. So it's been really interesting for me with that piece of learning. The other thing as leader, we need to consider how to best bring others along. We need to consider how to bring the whole group along on this vision, this mission that we have been given together, and how can we all influence and work together to move the ship along in the right direction. We need to inspire and invite others to follow. And leaders always invite or encourage others to join. But leaders also have lots of things that they need to stay away from. They need to stay away from things like being abrasive or impatient. Because when you're task-focused and not necessarily as people-focused as you should be, you are abrasive without even trying to be abrasive. Like, come on, guys, join me in this. And you're much more forceful because this is where you're trying to lead them. And sometimes people are not coming as long, as fast as you want them to. And you come across abrasive or impatient. So as a leader, you need to focus on not being abrasive or impatient. Don't become overly ambitious. Don't be focused on building your kingdom, but we're focused on building Christ's kingdom here on earth. And we're focused on advancing the kingdom and occupying until he comes. As a leader, don't allow pride to creep in. Stay humble in all things, but be confident and proud in who Christ made you. And don't be one that is overreaching concerning your ability or the ability of your team. And the biggest thing as a leader is remember that people matter more than plans. And I think that, for me, has been one of the biggest learning things that I've really had to learn, because people would drive me crazy in the past. And I've shared this with you guys before. I wasn't a people person. I still don't even know if I'm a people person. I must be, I guess. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm still growing in this and understanding what does it mean to not just get so task-focused. Stacy would give me heck all day when I'd be, like, doing yard work or doing landscaping or doing additions, because I would go out, and I'd go out before breakfast, and she'd call me for breakfast and make my breakfast, and I wouldn't eat because I got to just get this one job done. And I'd be so focused, and I'd push through and wouldn't drink. It'd be, drink water. It'd be plus 30 or 32 or whatever, and I'd be working away and just working and working. Come eat. Come get some water. Come have some lunch. Yeah, I just got to get this done. Just leave me alone. Let me focus on what I'm focused on. Okay, and I'd keep working and working and working, and all of a sudden it'd be 5:30, 6 o'clock. She's like, you need to get some water or something to drink or get some food in you. Yeah, just let me get this task done. And by the time 8:30, 9 o'clock rolls around, I've been battling with this task that I've been so focused on, I've missed all the steps around me, and I've missed all the things that have gone on around me. And that's what happens when you are so focused on the task. You miss the people. You miss the enjoyment of life. You miss building the relationships within your church and community. You get done the job, and you get off work or whatever you're doing, and you're so tired you can't even put your head up. And we need to be focused on the people rather than the task. And then we got the group with administrative gifts. And this is, like I said, very similar to leadership gifts. And the gift of administration is also a God-given strength or ability to organize and combine multiple tasks, gifts, resources of people, of groups of people to accomplish this common goal. And if you see that, it's very similar to leadership, but there's differences because this is more of the organizing. This is more of the planning, the structures, and they work very hand in hand. The leader helps get us moving and get the vision out there. The administrator gets the vision organized so we can actually get there. In my house, I'm the leader, in case you didn't know. I'm the king of my castle. But I come up with these crazy harebrained ideas in my house. And my wife makes sure that the kids have food, clothes, and all the important things, and maybe make sure I have a snack and I have clean socks and underwear and everything that I need to get ready to go too. And I'm sitting in the car like, why are you not ready to go? Let's go. We're going. But she's organizing. Do you know what I mean here? Does anybody else have this in their house? It happens with our kids all the time. Our kids are like, they're playing and doing their thing, and it's like, well, I thought we were going to the football game. Well, did you pack your water? No. Did you pack clothes? No. Did you get anything? No, I've been playing my game. Happens all the time. They want to, they have this plan, they have this vision of what they want to do, but they need somebody to help administrate it and get it organized. And we might not think of those as gifts at administration, but it is. Those with the gift of administration have the special anointing to understand the complexity of the steps on the way to the goal, as well as how to efficiently organize people, resources, and time toward long-term outcomes. Truthfully, Stacy's not here right now. She's with Seth at soccer, so I can say this safely, and I will know if somebody here tells her, okay? Stacy and most women are far better, oh boy, I'm going to regret saying this later, are far better administrators than some of us, most of us guys. And it's great, right? And yes, we should clap for our ladies because they're awesome at it. Don't tell Stacy I said that. She'll be listening to this probably on the way home from Saskatoon. Ladies do a fantastic job of this. And guys, we need to step up our game. Kids, we need to step up your game and not put all the reliance on our moms and on our wives, on our co-pilots. Because if we didn't have a co-pilot, boy, we would have nothing to pilot. And you know what? Like, we, as administrators, though, we have this special anointing to just focus and see the steps that we need to participate in and partake in. Administrators are called to plan and effectively execute the big picture goals of the church. A person with a gift of administration takes the church's dream, the leader's dream, and then builds the systems and the process to make that dream a reality. And this gift works hand in hand with that leadership gift. And like I said earlier, oftentimes these are the same person. But there's lots of times where it's not. And sometimes it takes more than one person to be the leader and administrator. And if you have this administrative gift within the church context, here are some things that you should lean into. This is the one I like. Be detailed oriented. Be detailed oriented. Don't do things half-butt. Can I say half-butt? I can say half-butt. I just did, 3 times. Don't do things and not strive for excellence. Always strive for excellence. Next is to take time and develop strategies and develop a plan to reach the goal that has been laid out. If we have a plan, we have a goal, and we don't take time to step back and plan it and effectively organize our thoughts and the processes, you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off and you're just going to bump into the fence and the walls. And you're going to get frustrated that nobody is behind you. You need to sit back and develop a plan. You can't just go. Something I learned, because usually it'd be just, you know, I have the idea, I'm just going to go. And then I've got to stop 6 months later because I've got to step back and replan and rejig and do this and do that and then start over again. We have to develop a plan. The other thing you need to do is work to bring order out of chaos. Work to bring order out of chaos. This goes hand in hand with building the plan. We need to bring order out of chaos. And we need to be action-oriented. We need to assign tasks. We need to be action-oriented to get to the goal. As administrators, we need to build successful systems, not just systems for the sake of building systems, but we need to strategically build systems that are going to allow us to be effective as a church. We don't have 6,000 people here to have everybody do one job each. We have to build successful systems in order to be effective as a church so that we can effectively reach our community and each other. We need to be efficient, right? We need to be thorough. We need to be organized. We need to be conscientious of everything around us, whether it be people, whether it be process. We need to be thoughtful and conscientious about every step we take. And I think these are skills that, if you're an administrator, these will help propel you to success within leadership within the church. But there's some things that you need to also avoid and stay cautious of and stay away from. And this one is really hand in hand with leader, okay? And it's don't forget the body of Christ is people-centered. It's not business-centered. It's not goal-centered. It's not let me see how fast I can get my church to 1,000 people and then I can run off to the next one and see if I can get it up to 50,000 people or whatever, you know? We are people-centered, and we're here to build each other up, not to build my kingdom or your kingdom or whatever. We are here to build each other up. Now, here's the trick, though. Here's the trick, and I say this very cautiously. Not cautiously. What's the right word? I speak what I'm about to say with all heart towards everybody. I'm saying this compassionately. That's the word I was trying to say. I say this as compassionately as possible. Sometimes you might not like the things that come out as part of the plan. You might not like how things are done. I'm saying people that are not the administrators and leaders. And then you start talking. And then you start gossiping. And then you start nattering. And then you start causing trouble. That's not what you're to do. You're to come alongside. You're to come and support. You're supposed to have discussion with those that are trying to implement systems and do things and lead a direction. Because the purpose of what we're trying to do is to be unified and together. And I know I'm just totally gone aside, but it's critical to know if you're not the administrator and the leader and that's not your gifting, but you don't like something, just talk about it. Not to your neighbor, but to the person that's trying to administer it and lead it. Because you'll be far more effective for the church if you're actually coming alongside and working and discussing and having dialogue. Now, after the dialogue, you still might not like it. But guess what? We're still called to work together. Another thing is don't forget to listen to others. And that's why I brought that point up just now. As we listen to others, we can adjust goals as needed. But if I'm just going to sit here and Erla's got a plan and she's the leader. Sorry, Erla. And she's leading and she's got Elaine helping administer this whole thing. And I'm like, can you believe this, Gary? Like, these two ladies, they're trying to get us to paint the church yellow to be a sun. Like, they're nuts. Right, Gary? We got to do something about them. Like, this is outrageous. Thelma, like, can you come talk to Gary and I? Like, do you know what these guys are doing? And we start gossiping and talking and causing division and strife. When all we had to do is say, guys, why do you think we need to paint this yellow? Well, could we just get a big poster or, you know, just have a conversation? And maybe it's like, Erla's like, yeah, I didn't think about that. That is going to be bright and ugly. Yeah, let's just do a sign. Let's do a big sign with a sun. And, you know, there's opportunities always to adjust goals, adjust plans, but the dialogue needs to happen. It can't happen through gossip. It needs to happen through one-on-one communication. And this one I mentioned kind of earlier, but don't confuse my goals, my strategies, with God's goals and God's strategies. And this comes true in so many situations, but boy, Like, I could have this whole idea of what I want to see happen here within the church, and I think I need to build my pulpit up higher so people can see me better. You know what I mean? Like, just like ideas like that where I turn it about me. We need to remember in all things that we do as a church, as a body, that it needs to be God-centered, God-led, God-directed, and have nothing to do with our personal opinion and preference. And here is the one, and I think I've said it with a couple other of our gifts that we've talked about, but here is an important one. Don't become impatient with those who do not share your gift or your passion. Don't become angry towards those who don't share your gift or your passion. And it's very similar to what I talked about a few weeks ago about the evangelist and about the prophet and about the apostle. If that's not your heart, but you have this gift of gift or of giving gifts or of craftsmanship or something else, but your gift isn't apostleship or your gift isn't evangelism in the street, that's okay. Because as long as you're working within the gifts that Christ has called you to and given you in the most effective way possible, that's all that matters. And I shouldn't give a rip if your gift is not the same as mine. And I shouldn't condemn you, or I shouldn't put you down if your gift isn't the same as mine. Your calling isn't the same as mine. Just like I shouldn't have got so angry at my pastor before because his calling wasn't the same as mine to focus on men. He was focused on the church and the community and trying to do a feeding program, try to do this program. I was on men. He was on everything else. We can't lose sight of that. We all have a focus. We all have a heart. We all have a passion. Our passion as a church is reaching the lost. Some of us, our job is to equip you. Some of us, our job is to raise funds, get things together. Some of our job is to cook. Some of our job is to talk to people, bring them in. We all have a job. We all have a task. We all have a focus. And we can't expect everybody to be on food. Because if we all just focus on food, we're not going to have the money for the food. We're not going to have the opportunity to equip each other and teach. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that bring clarity? That's what and this is really what we talked about the past 5 weeks. But as we step out of those fivefold gifts, and we start stepping into other gifts, it really starts to tie in those other pieces into clarity, and I hope that brings a clear purpose and a clear vision to you of what we're really looking to do here, is to focus on your hotspot and not focus on everybody else. Because if we focus on our hotspot, we'll be most effective as a church, and you'll be most effective in your gift and your ministry. That's all I have. You guys are getting off lucky today. But I'd like to kind of just close in prayer, and then we're going to sing a couple songs here in person. But if you're joining us online, I'd just like to encourage you just to be blessed today. And if you're joining us here, I'd also like to encourage you to be blessed. We're glad to have you. And yes, I know that our summer series is a little different than most of the past messages we've done. But it's important stuff. And it's important to know where our gifts are and how we can work better together. Because the fact is we are better together. And we're better as we push forward together. So I'm going to ask Mary to come up, and we're just going to play. We're not going to play the piano. This isn't like a Vegas show. But I'll have her play the piano. And we're just going to close in prayer. Would you guys stand with me and pray? God, we honor you. God, we love you. And Father, we thank you that we are all a cog in the wheel. We are all working together, Father, and turning the gears so that we can be an effective church together. God, I thank you that you have called each of us to our own individual passions and gifts. And Father, I pray that as we step out and start working within our gifts that you've called us to, that things would be clearer for us. And that we would work together in an effective manner, driving the kingdom, moving it forward, advancing it, occupying it, occupying this earth until you come back. God, I pray that we wouldn't be content with sitting back, Father, but we would be content when you come back, and that until that time, we push forward. God, I pray that you would stir up within us a passion for our community, for the lost. And God, I pray that as you stir that up, Father, that in our each and own unique ways, Father, and within our gifts, that we can be impactful. Whether it be here teaching, whether it be here building up and edifying, whether it be here preparing food or raising funds or doing any of that stuff, God, whatever it looks like, Father, I pray that you would stir us and draw us into you more. God, we thank you and we love you. And Father, I pray that you would just stir each and every one of us to something new and just to have this desire to know you and do your work in a new and greater way. Father, we love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, God bless. Have a great week, and we will talk to you next week.